Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, pop art painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I am super excited for tonight's show because we're going to do a special expose on the current state of professional black comedian. No, I'm kidding. We're not doing any of that. But I must say, I have been thoroughly entertained by all of that happening on YouTube. Doesn't surprise me. None of that stuff surprises me. But anyway, no, we've got a really kick-ass actress, filmmaker, producer on with us tonight. I loved her in the horror movie I saw at end of last year called Pig Killer. And, man, she was just fantastic in that. And she brings it again. New movie just dropped yesterday called Scalper. Without further ado, I'd like to welcome Ms. Kate Patel. Hopefully, Kate, I'm saying your name correctly. I hope.
You said it perfectly, and thank you so much for having me.
Anytime. Thank you for entertaining us all, you know? Wow, very, very cool. I wanted to ask you, we were talking a little bit off mic before the show started, and you're in L.A., I'm in South Florida. I lived in Southern California when I got out of college, but I lived down in San Diego, which, you know,
okay.
If you've ever been to San Diego, anybody, that means I was in L.A. every weekend. It's a little more exciting. San Diego's beautiful, but not a lot going on. When you're a young buck, you know, you look for excitement, you know, L.A.'s the place to
what
be.
What did you do up in L.A. when you went there?
I tell people I'm a retired club rat. My day job, I'm a painter. I paint, been doing that a long time. And at that time, it seemed that everybody that was buying paintings off me, that's where they were hanging out at, were nightclubs. So that's where I was hanging out. But the great thing about California is everybody you meet's doing something. Very inspiring, you know. Are you from L.A.? Are you a Los Angeles native?
I was born in San Francisco, and we moved a lot. We moved to England for about 5 years and then back to the Bay Area. And then I was going to school out on the East Coast for a while, and then we moved to Canada. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Your parents either must have been in show business or were scientists or something, or bank robbers. I mean, it could be anything, right?
I mean, my dad's a businessman, and he, not of the mafia sort, and he likes switching jobs, which was kind of
nice.
In a way it's cool, but at the same time I hated leaving my friends when I was 8 years old, having to move to a totally different country, you know. So
I gotcha.
Like the pros and cons, but yeah.
I hear you. Well, it doesn't surprise me that you got into producing and whatnot. I mean, not only are you doing the artistic side of acting, but you also embrace the business side of filmmaking, you know, in production and whatnot. Not a lot of people do that out of the gate, you know. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, well, thank you. I have to say I had a lot of help from my friend and fellow producer Jeff Olin, who really showed me the ropes, and I wouldn't have been able to do it without him. That's for sure. And I learned so much, but I felt like, I wanted to, I was doing background acting at that point, and I was just like, you know, I guess I just have to make this happen for myself somehow. And
that's a producer.
So I kind of dove in, and I'm glad I did. I learned a lot, like producing. You know, I love acting is what I love to do, but it's so, I think it was so great that I got to learn on my first real film, as I call it, like all of behind the scenes production, everything that goes on behind the scenes is so valuable to know as an actor, I think. So.
Oh, it's amazing. It's amazing. No, you're really good at what you do. And I suspect, I mean, we're just meeting for the first time, but it seems to me, it wouldn't be a stretch for me to believe that you're probably good at whatever, you know, you get a beat on, whatever you sink your teeth into. I looked over at your Instagram page, and I saw one of the things that leads me to think this is I saw, and there was just a couple, it wasn't all about this, but I saw a couple of ballet pictures, dance-type themed pictures, and I had a stepsister of mine that was really into ballet, and one of the things I remember about that period in her life is the just crazy amount of work that I don't think a lot of people realize. You know, I mean, just it's like hardcore athletics, and you know, if you're going to be in that world, you're obviously going to get good at what you do, or you're not going to be in that world. You know, is that something you were in, or were those pictures just kind of a lark?
No, I was absolutely in that from the time I was 3 years old up till I quit when I was probably about 16. But I was doing it.
Wow.
That was like my life for that time. That was really kind of the center of my existence and what I did most days, you know, every day after school, sometimes on weekends. I went to my high school specifically for their ballet program, so that was my life was really just centered around that. And I got so much intense, you know, old school training. And this, like you said, it's, I mean, I'm not into sports, per se, but I compare it to like, but in sports, you don't have to look like what you're doing is the easiest thing in the world, and you're defying gravity, and you have to make it look like it's the easiest and most natural thing in the world. You can sort of express your you know, if you're tired, you can like, you know, you don't have to like look like it's so easy. And like to, yes, no, absolutely, it's just one of the toughest things out there for sure, and just the amount of discipline that it takes. And honestly, you know, I personally was not able to hold that down. I got to a certain level, and I couldn't take it anymore. It got too intense, and I had to. I took a break from it for years, which was, you know, it was sort of a love-hate thing. I got back into it and was dancing with a small company in Canada for a while, which was nice, but it didn't come with all the pressures of, like, it wasn't live, eat, breathe. I had other things going on in my life, so that was nice.
Oh, it's amazing. I didn't mean to bring up any bad memories.
I love it. I'm so grateful that I had that. Like I'll be eternally grateful that I have that. But of course, it's like that. You know, it came with some battles for sure. That's the nature of it, I think. And it's also it's so beautiful, right? It's like, and I so admire people that can stick to that. They make that, you know, their life. They become a professional dancer, and you know, it's a relatively healthy system for them. You know, I think well, for me at least, I rebelled. I totally went the other way at a certain point.
Well, it's like I said, I just noticed a couple. There was a picture of you putting on some, I don't know what the term is, the special dance shoes or whatever. And, yeah, you know, it's just, I said, oh, I said, that, seeing that led me to think, well, that's why she's good at acting. Because I know people that if you're into that kind of stuff, you got to be driven. Otherwise, it ain't going to work. You know, it's just hard. It's hard.
Well, I appreciate you saying you that. I feel like I could be more driven. But I appreciate you saying
that. Yeah, you know, a couple good hit movies. I mean, come on, you know. The best job in the world. I would be tagging everyone I went to high school, the entire school, not just my year, everybody. Hey, look what I'm doing. Pretty cool, man. Pretty cool. I bet your black cat thinks it's cool.
Unfortunately, I didn't get to keep her. I was fostering her, and I was so allergic, and it was just the saddest thing to have to give her up. But I couldn't breathe, so unfortunately, yeah. But
I don't know if you've ever seen them. I have a friend of mine. Him and his wife. They live over in England, but they're rockers. They're goth rockers, and. You know, and they're ridiculously good looking. It's one of those couples you're like, oh man, if they ever have a kid, I'm going to tear them up when the halo comes out. You know, I mean, they're just both rock star type people. But his name's Brandon, and he's very allergic to cats as well. But they're goth kids, so they love cats, you know. And they got those cats that don't have any fur. They look like they look like Gollum from, you know, The Lord of the Rings.
I'd still love to do that if I can find one. Yeah, that's a great idea.
They love them. He's always posting pictures of this ugly worm looking cat in his lap, but he loves them. He loves them.
There's something. Yeah, I mean, they do kind of have that, you know, the golem-like appearance, but there's something about them. Really sweet, I think.
Oh, absolutely. Kind of got that Dobby. Was that his name? Dobby? Harry Potter in the Game of Talk.
Yeah.
Kind of looked like that guy.
That's right.
Well, see, maybe something like that would work for you, you know? And he says it's because there's no fur, you know, there's no dander, really, I guess. It's the fur that messes them up. I don't know. It's the same. I have no idea.
I think so. Well, let me know
I'll put you two in touch. You can answer all the weird cat questions. The furless weird cat questions. He's really cool. He's one of those friends you're like, I actually know a David Bowie type person. Wow, that's pretty cool, you know. It's kind of like your buddy Chad, you know. It's like, I kind of know a Martin Scorsese type person, you know. just very good at what they do. How did you and, speaking of Chad, folks who don't know, both of these movies, Scalper just dropped yesterday, and before that, Pig Killer, both directed by Chad Farron, who we're talking about here. How did you guys meet?
Yeah, good question.
Isn't he Canadian as well?
He's not. No, he's not Canadian. Now I'm questioning that, but no, I'm pretty sure he's not. I want to say from somewhere in the Midwest, but I'm not 100%. Don't quote me on that. So we met through Jeff Olin, who I mentioned earlier, who was a fellow producer on The Pig Killer. He's worked with Chad on a couple movies, a few movies now. And he just finished one. I think it was called The Deep Ones. And I was talking with Jeff about this idea that I had for a movie, and it's about, because I was coming from Vancouver, Canada, where this Willie Picton was. I was living there at the time when he was in the news, And, you know, he was in court, and it was a long trial, and all these women were murdered. I've been fascinated, not so much these days, but I have been into psychology for most of my life, and just the psyche behind, like, horrific instances like that, and people, you know, someone like that, like what would cause them to do that? And I've always been sort of curious about that aspect. So I was looking about you know how he grew up and all this stuff, and I found it very interesting. And then I found this story about this girl who sort of falls for all the wrong people that don't really have her best interest at heart, and that sort of
we've all met her.
We know who that is. So I thought it would be so interesting to interweave these two storylines of this, you know, serial killer meets this sort of naive girl, and they both kind of fall in love, and like what that looks like and how that changes people. I remember there was this one. Sorry if I'm getting off topic here.
No, you're fine.
There was this one story that happened in Vancouver before I left, and it was a lady who she was getting burgled, and the robber had come in, and he was, a drug addict or, you know, looking for money. And she was about to kill herself.
Oh.
And the interaction of, like, when he came in to rob her, and she was, like, already saying, like, about to kill herself, and she didn't care that he was sort of, you know, holding
right.
her up. And
threats don't work.
Such a cool, it's like, it changed both of them. Like, I think they both completely changed. She didn't end up killing herself, and he ended up reforming, and I just found that so fascinating, like how the intersection of these two, you know, these awful things or places in people's lives, and then, you know, they meet and they can change each other. That was sort of the concept that I had behind the meeting of these two people, and like, how does that change them? And anyway, so that's sort of a sideline too. I brought this story to Jeff Olin, and he said, oh, well, I know someone who, you know, writes and directs and produces and does all the post-production on all this stuff. And I was like, cool.
He does it all.
So we all met for lunch at a Chinese restaurant, and we said, let's do it. The energy was great. And I'm so glad that we did. It sort of happened from there. And he is a one-man show. I mean, like you
right.
probably might, you might be aware, he wrote the script within 2 weeks.
Like Jack Kerouac time period. I mean, like super quick. And
yeah.
I even told him, I said, Chad, you realize that's not how that's normally done, right? And he's like, yeah, but I don't have time for normal. You know, I don't have time.
He's not your average, though. So. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that about him.
Amazing.
And he's so reliable too. Like he's one of those people who, and I'm, you know, in LA you get a lot, you know, there can be a lot of talk and
no,
right. but
he
gets
it. He delivers.
It all done. It's very impressive. Very impressive.
Kate, I'm going to tell you, there are mornings I wake up and I'm like, oh, I don't feel like doing it, man. I don't feel like doing it today.
I hear you.
Lay on the couch today, you know, and not do anything. And then I think about people like Chad, and I'm like, well, Chad wouldn't be laying on the couch all day today. Chad would be getting done. So I'm like, I can do it too. I got to get to it.
I want
to
know his routine. I want to know his, like, daily routine. Like, what time does he get up? What does he have, you know, first thing in the morning? What is, like,
yeah,
I'm like, what's
like
this,
a machine.
He's like a machine. I mean,
yeah. It's crazy. Well, and then, so Pig Killer came out and everything, and that was such a cool movie. And I get that, you know, hard, gore horror isn't everybody's cup of tea and whatnot. Totally understand it. Totally respect it, you know?
Yeah.
Not everybody likes the same type of art. And there's nothing wrong with that. But, man, if you do, that's a movie to watch. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages.
Happy New Year from Al Hendrickson Toyota. Al's kicking off the new year with a giant sale on almost all 2024 Toyota models. Need financing help? Check out Al's no money down or deferred payment options. Shop AlHendricksonToyota.com to see if you qualify and make 2024 special. Looking to trade in your current car or sell it for cash? Take it to the easy to get to Al Hendrickson Toyota before you sell it to anyone else. And remember, South Florida, who saves you money? The easy to get to Al Hendrickson Toyota.
Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us, www.jamierocks.us.
Hey, rockers. This is Stacey Lane Wilson, author and editor of the Rock and Roll Nightmares book series. I have a new podcast that features interviews with musicians, artists, authors, filmmakers, and music historians. In season one, I interview Phil Soussan from Ozzy Osbourne's band, Scott Crawford, the director of the Cream magazine documentary, Lisa S. Johnson, the award-winning author and photographer of the books 108 Rockstar Guitars and Immortal Axes, just to name a few. The Rock and Roll Nightmares podcast explores the dark and mysterious and sometimes funny side of music from the 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. Enjoy on RSS or anywhere you like to listen to podcasts.
Glittering amethyst, energizing citrine, colorful fluorite, the other side of the sun, Earth's treasures brought to light. Since 1999, we have offered a unique collection of hand-selected minerals and gems for every budget, for novices, collectors, and healers. Visit www.tosots.com to view our wide selection of offerings and use coupon code ROCKS, that's R-O-X-X, for 10% off your first order. Remember, TOSOTS.com. Earth's treasures brought to light.
Hi, folks. Jamie Rocks here. Hey, if you're a big fan of cool historical books like me, then you're going to want to check out our newest show sponsor, Michelle Albion. Fantastic author. She's got some really interesting, cool books out that you're going to want to check out. I'm a big fan of all of these. The Florida Life of Thomas Edison, The Quotable Edison, Quotable Henry Ford, Quotable Eleanor Roosevelt, and, of course, The Quotable Amelia Earhart. Michelle's just very keen and very, very cool, and these are just very cool books. So check out her website. There's links to where you can pick these up on Amazon and Barnes & Noble all over the place. MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com, MichelleAlbion.com. Very, very cool stuff. Check it out, folks. Now, following that, you do Scalper. Now, Scalper is a sequel, but I don't want anybody turned off from that because I did not know that. I did not know that. I went into watching Scalper blind, and I got to say, you don't have to have seen the – I hadn't seen the first one. I wanted to watch the first one after I saw it, but I wasn't turned around at all, you know, watching this. You can go in this as a standalone.
Yeah.
And you play one of the most interesting characters in it. I don't want to give anything away. I want people to watch it. It just dropped yesterday, folks. It's out on VOD. Detective Lupino? Is that how you say it? Lupino?
Yeah, Lupino.
Yeah, Lupina.
Yeah.
And she is, I think she might be related to my wife. She is a no-nonsense, no-bullshit type woman. You know what I mean? Doesn't have a lot of patience. And old Jake Busey is your partner, you know, on the force in the film. And he's a little more easygoing and whatnot. And I just love the interaction between you guys. It's fantastic. It is, the first movie is called Nightcaller. I should mention that. This is a cool film, man. It's very grindhouse. It's got that kind of retro feel to it. Doesn't look retro, but it's got a feel to it, you know? And I would have loved to have seen this movie in a drive-in setting. That would have been perfect, you know.
That's cool.
But it was good.
Yeah.
It was good on my big TV. I enjoyed it.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
How did
it,
you?
Yeah.
Now, when they first brought this to you, and the characters are super realistic, you know what I mean? The killer's vicious, the pacing's great, and there's some really good twists, and no, I'm not going to tell you what they are, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to watch this film. It's fantastic. But when they brought you the film, when this script came across Kate's desk, you know, in your office there, your acting office, what were your initial thoughts? Were you like, I can do this. This is somebody I can get my teeth into.
Oh, yeah. It was so cool because we just finished The Pig Killer. And I, you know, so I had the experience of working with Jake, which was incredible to work with him in The Pig Killer. And then Chad actually wrote, because he's on to the next. Like, once he's done one film and he's edited it, he's on to the next. He doesn't wait around for, like, figuring out distribution and stuff. He's writing something else already. So he started on The Scalper, like, pretty much right after Pig Killer. And he had, like, you know, it is a really interesting, compelling storyline. The nature of what goes on. And so the characters that Jake and I played, Detective Lupino and Detective Hayden, he had us in mind when he was writing it. So he sort of had us in mind when he was writing it, and you know, it worked out. You know, of course, I was like, "Oh my gosh, yes!" when I, you know, read this, and it was cool because he sort of, you know, played on us to work our characters.
And
Jake said yes, and so that was very cool because it brought this. I think Chad's very good at picking up on these dynamics, and to be able to shift into a totally different role than The Pig Killer, and to be working with Jake in a totally different dynamic was really awesome. And so, yeah, no, I was thrilled when I saw the script. It was really exciting, for sure.
Well, it's so cool too, and you got to wear more clothes. It was probably a warmer shoot, I would imagine. I'm goofing. This is a very cool movie. I am telling you, in my opinion, if this was a horse, I would bet on it. Definitely going to become a cult classic. I'd bet anybody a dollar, you know, however much money you want to bet, this is definitely going to become a cult classic. It's just got that, vibe, you know. And I don't mean, when I say retro, folks, don't think it's dated. But you know how, like, I'm trying to think, like, Texas Chainsaw Massacre kind of has that grime to it. This kind of had that to it.
Yeah.
You know, that feel. That's kind of like, oh.
I feel like Chad is really good at pulling that into his movies. And I haven't seen all of his movies, but I feel like he, and I love that. I love that when I get that. What you say, that retro sense, or however you want to put it, this like hint of nostalgia, someplace, sometime, you can't really put a finger on it. I feel like he does so well at that, and I love that about his movies.
Well, it's very cool, too, and I don't want to give anything away. The main character, Clementine, you know, there's some supernatural stuff, you know, some kind of psychic type stuff. And the way you guys portrayed that on the film, it was just cool. It was very cool and how I would imagine that would happen. You know, I mean, it wasn't sometimes when things go supernatural, it gets a little crazy. You know what I mean? People are like, oh, you know, a lot of flashing lights. That wasn't the case here. And again, you got to check it out, folks. You got to check it out. Very, very cool. Kate, how did you feel about your hair in this role?
About my hair?
Yeah.
It's funny you ask that. I have just gone back and forth between my shades so often for different roles that I've been doing in the past 2 years. I'm surprised I still have hair, to be honest. It's because I was dark haired, and when I met with Chad for the Pig Killer, he said, I want you to be blonde because, you know, Jake's
right.
Blonde and all this. Okay, so I went blonde.
He called up her fella.
And then he said,
boom.
For the scalper, he's like, I want you to have dark hair. I said, okay.
Right.
And I don't like wearing wigs and stuff, so I get my hair done to be either blonde or dark.
Yeah.
Went back dark. And then another, I did a play after that where I was playing Marlene Dietrich, and she's blonde. So then I dyed my hair back blonde, and I went back dark,
nice.
And now I'm blonde again. Anyway, I'm happy I still have my hair. It's cool to be able to switch up the character. The hair as well plays a part. So I did feel like that can, you know, I don't know if I'd have felt so intense had I been blonde for that role. I don't know. There's
well,
something.
I think it's more harsh, you know.
Definitely,
and that's a harsh character, and it works. It works. He called that right. My wife does that a lot. She, matter of fact, she has an online crystal business. Her and her business partner, they sell crystals. And her business partner, how they met, his name's Travis. And, you know, my wife's a weirdo artist, so she's had every color hair under the. She even had a rainbow at one point. And he's the guy who did it. That's her fella, you know. Not a problem. It's going to take 7 hours, but we can do it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I imagine
you
probably have a person like that as well, you know.
I do. Magic. It's magic, which I don't know how she does it. But, yeah, I'm sure like your wife,
I don't
make
know
magic
how you gals sit there that long, you know. I guess it's the age of the phone and stuff, you know, watching TikTok.
The phone helps.
You know.
Exactly.
I couldn't handle it. But I do, it's interesting. And this is the type of movie also, my wife's a lot like you in that, you know, number one, man, she loves watching these crime, I call them murder shows. A man does some woman wrong. I don't think there's a crime that they've made a show about that we haven't watched. Just me walking through the room. She's into that stuff. But I'm like you, too, I always ask myself, what the hell happened to this person to make them go that direction? You know, I mean, it's crazy, you know?
Absolutely. It is interesting. I'm curious to know if your wife knows about, I was just listening to a podcast about George Hodel.
George
you heard
Hodel.
Of him?
No, what is he known for? And
I guess he was a suspect in the Black Dahlia murder.
Oh, man. Her and her girlfriend, Julie, man, they are into that. It was
into
yesterday.
That?
Was the anniversary of the Black Dahlia.
Wow.
I saw a thing when I was doing my morning blog, and maybe it was the day before yesterday. No, I think it was yesterday. I don't. I could folks, don't send me emails. But yeah, it just happened. They're into that. And to this day, nobody, I think that they think they know who did it, but so it was him, you think, huh? This George
Well, she'd probably Odell. Be interested in this. She lived, the Black Dahlia lived at his house, which is somewhere in Los Angeles. Mm. And that's just a wild story. I won't go much further than that, but there's, she'd probably be interested in that. I found it fascinating.
Well, I will definitely mention it to her, you know, and that doesn't surprise me, you know, it doesn't surprise me. You got a gal walking around after a shower and a towel and stuff, you know, and gear turn, I suppose. Wouldn't surprise me. Wouldn't surprise me. It's, there's just so many, you know, you see these terrible stories, like on the news and stuff. That guy in Cleveland kept those women in the basement for like a decade. You know, and it was just horrible what happened to him. And, you know, you think to yourself, what the hell? I mean, what, this guy didn't get invited to prom, so that's what he decides to do? Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Go to Vegas for the weekend, dude, you know? There is solutions to this problem. You know, geez.
Yeah.
Anyway.
No, you're right. It can go that far to the being hurt or thwarted at some point and just not working past that and heart, like sort of justifying these, you know, murders because of that, you know, it exists, which is wild.
Oh, I know. And there's nothing worse. There's nothing worse than heartbroken guys, you know, and you know this, you're a woman, you know, I mean, they're just pathetically sad sometimes. Buddy out there listening, you know, if you're going through it, you've gotten jolts of it. Trust me, I'm an old man. It'll suck for about 14 days. It's like a bad cold, and then survive.
The heartbreak is the worst for anyone. It's just, absolutely. But it's good to remember that. I like that you give a time limit on that, 2 weeks. You know, you'll be feeling better, which seems like forever. Sometimes it just seems like forever. 2 weeks is a long time when you get through it.
I tell you, the worst one is the first one. That's the thing, you know. That first one, oh, man, where you feel like nobody's ever felt like that before.
Yeah.
Then you discover country music and drinking, and you're like, oh, this helps.
Music helps. Music helped me through a lot.
Absolutely. Oh, man.
Heartbreak. And then you don't want to be, like, shut off, like, to the future.
No.
You know, you want to keep yourself, you don't want to grow bitter and close. So it's like,
tough. Start wearing a pig head. You don't want that.
Don't go down that road. We know where it ends, right?
Well, you get famous and make a movie about you, right?
Oh, there you go.
It's crazy. You know, there's so many, and I don't know if there's more crazy people. I always hear people say, there's always been the same amount of crazy people out there. You just know about it more because, you know, you're on Facebook. I don't know if that's true or not. You know, I honestly don't know, but. And now, folks, a couple quick messages from some of our show sponsors. Stay tuned. We'll be back with the rest of the interview after these quick messages. Listen to this cool episode ad-free. If you're a VIP member, you can become one on my website, www.jamierocks.us. www.jamierocks.us.
Metal Babe Mayhem is is more than just an online store. It's a destination. MetalMadeMayhem.com carries over 150 rock and roll products, including clothing, jewelry, and accessories. Metal Babe Mayhem also offers shrine clothing and alchemy gothic jewelry. In addition, Metal Babe Mayhem founder Allison Metal Babe Cohen is a rock and roll journalist who supports local and national artists with rockin' reviews, interviews, playlists, networking, and more. Metal Babe Mayhem is taking over the world, one shirt at a time.
My Love Shack Apothecary online shop has everything you need to build a special gift for yourself or someone who needs a little pampering. I hand make all of the products in small batches using only plant-based ingredients and therapeutic-grade essential oils. Whether you choose one of my curated sets or want to build a custom gift set, My Love Shack Apothecary has everything you need to send a little sunshine to someone today. Please visit us online at www.loveshackapothecary.com. That's www.loveshackapothecary.com, as well as online on Instagram and Facebook. Links are in our website.
Support for this podcast comes from the University of Texas MD Anderson Cancer Center, ranked one of the top cancer centers in the nation for the last 27 years. The doctors at MD Anderson treat more rare cancers in a single day than many physicians see in a lifetime, and treatment plans are tailored to an individual patient's needs, allowing more comprehensive and thorough care. To become a patient, please visit MakingCancerHistory.com.
Aloha. If you have stress in your life or even anxiety and panic, I want to invite you to the Anxiety Coaches Podcast for a way out. The Anxiety Coaches Podcast is a relaxing and inspiring show bringing you lifestyle changes to calm your nervous system and help you heal. Heal anxiety, panic, and PTSD for life. We bring you 2 episodes every week. There's no need to walk this path alone. Join us for a relaxing, informative, and inspiring time and start your journey out of anxiety panic. That's anxietycoachespodcast.com. Aloha.
Ruxgear, the online web shop of high-end luxury merchandise and products, all featuring original pop art paintings. From La Jolla to Miami to London, www.merch.jamierocks.us.
Yeah, I was watching that one trial, you know, and you get sucked into this stuff, at least I do. I was watching that trial with that, I can't remember her name, that blonde lady, and, you know, her and her husband thought that everybody were zombies, and they killed their kids. Very, you know, it's just a big thing. And of course, they were real religious, and it was just layers of the extreme in their life.
Mm.
And, geez Louise, man, go to Disney World for the weekend. There are better options, you know.
This is why I don't watch the news anymore. I agree.
Although, before the show tonight, I was having a little bite to eat, and I was flipping through the news, which is weird because I usually don't watch that before a show. But I'm like, you know, horror movie actress. I can watch. I can handle it. And the big news here in Fort Lauderdale today, all the news stations were, because I watch the news on YouTube, so you get like a breakdown of all the big stories, you know, from all the different things. And the big news here is there's an 8-foot crocodile that keeps showing up in this neighborhood and hanging out
on I love
deck.
It.
You know, everybody's freaking out. The crocodile hasn't done anything. It's just laying in the sun. I'm like, well,
that's awesome.
You know,
that's great. That's great. That's great news.
Last week there was a monkey running around. It was it's kind of like San Diego. There's not a lot happening. You get down to Miami, that changes. So this is very, very cool. So you were a ballerina and whatnot, and then you decided to get into acting, and you also do theater too, right? I saw something somewhere on one of your pages. You were in a play recently in December, right? Christmas play.
Yes, yes.
How was that?
I was in a couple of plays last year. It's fantastic. I did, at the beginning of the year, I did a play called Garbo's Cuban Lover, where I got to play Marlene Dietrich, and I loved that. My first theater play, and I loved that and the whole experience. And then
she
the
was
Christmas
an interesting actress.
Very interesting, and so iconic. I mean, so I loved just being able to get into that role.
Let me ask you this, Kate. Now, when you played this, did any of that rub off onto you? Like, are you walking around your condo now and you know, high heels with the poof on them and smoking out of a long cigarette holder and stuff and saying darling?
I was sort of,
nice.
You know,
nice.
Definitely I love, that's part of like the love of the joy of acting for me is being able to sort of, you know, chameleonize myself into that as much as possible. And it's so cool. She was just so cool to be able to, you know, recreate this character and this identity.
I can picture you as in that role, in that mindset, and then some poor schlep, you know, you're out at a club or something, and I don't know, but you know, he sends over a drink from the bar, and you're like, no, you're a real estate broker, ain't happening, tuck in your shirt, it's not gonna happen, I'm a movie star, are you kidding me?
That didn't happen exactly, but yeah, it's it was fun. So it was a lot of fun.
No,
and then,
Santa
Quit.
I see under
Santa
the Quist, featuring.
Yeah.
I just looked at the playbill here, and you know, there's all these iconic characters and whatnot. I'm trying to guess who you were. Were you the Halloween witch? Were you the April Fool? Easter ball, the tooth fairy, the stork, got the wings.
I was
ballerina,
the stork.
Remember? There you see, I called it.
Nice. That's good. That's very good. Which was completely different. It's that role. I just made a complete fool of myself. Absolutely, 100% all in. Just, you know, as foolish as possible. And as weird looking as possible. So it's like that.
Did they
kind
have you wearing like a beak thing or something?
It was it was sort of like this Amelia Earhart look with these goggles that Dave, the writer, his wife had played Amelia Earhart many, many, you know, years ago, decades ago. And he had these goggles she wore. One of the lenses was popped out, so I wore those, and I wore a little aviator, you know, hat with the flaps and a little scarf. Like, you know, it's goofy looking.
That's fantastic.
It's cute and fun and just really goofy and had to really let all my self-consciousness completely out the window. You know, I'm like stumbling all over myself and singing out of key and all that stuff. So it was fun. That was
fantastic. Now is I know it's such an, excuse my ignorance on it, and I don't mean to ask a silly question, but obviously movie acting, theater acting, different beef. Is it hard to make that transition? You're like, okay, we you know, anything can happen here on the stage, and we kind of have to go with it. we can't cut and rewind. Is that intimidating at all? You're a professional.
I think that's a great question. I guess coming from my ballet background where we have these live performances, I was more used to that. And I'm still relatively very new into any kind of acting anyway. But, you know, I guess coming from that ballet background of live performance, the theater, I was sort of already knew the deal where it's like, yeah, you're kind of, you know, it's you get one shot and you got to roll with it. What happens, happens. You can't do a retake. But it's, you know, yeah, there is this whole, you know, I feel like there's in a way more pressure in that sense to get it right. Whatever it means. In theater versus film, I mean, you want to get it right, but ultimately if things go terribly wrong, you still have the opportunity, hopefully, to do another take. Whereas in theater, you don't really have that. So it's almost like the adrenaline. Well, I get adrenaline on you know, film sets as well, but theater can have that kind of do or die, you know, feeling to it. It's cool in a way, but it's a lot. It's like, you know, because you have sometimes you're doing a show one night and then two shows the next day, and you know, it's exhausting. It can be exhausting in that sense. But I love, you know, I love it. I love that I did two theater shows last year. Now I'm like, you know, I still want to be able to do more of that, but I'm ready for film again. I'm like, oh, I miss some of the aspects of film and making a movie.
Right.
You don't have to yell and project everything so much, which is good for me to work on my voice, because as a ballet dancer, you don't use your voice at all. It was hard for me.
Right.
I still struggle with that. But with film, you can be more relaxed. You don't have to worry about, you know, people hearing your lines, so you can kind of settle into the emotionality a bit more and just relax into that, which is fun.
Well,
I miss that.
I'm telling you, it's really cool, and you're super good at what you do, and there's going to be so many, you know, you're doing all this now. There's going to be a lot of aspiring younger actresses looking up to you. You know, saying, I want to do what Kate's doing. She makes it look easy. That's cool. You know, that's a cool place to be. Amazing.
That would be cool. I appreciate you saying that.
Let me ask you this. Now, I know you Hollywood types. I'm teasing you. I tease because I think you're cool. But no, you know, people in the business and whatnot, sometimes it's hard. Are there things in the pipeline that you can't, I know we're promoting the Scalper and whatnot, or Scalper. Do you have anything in the pipe that's upcoming that you can talk about, or is everything still kind of under wraps right now?
I'm okay talking about stuff. I'm working on a short independent film right now, which is neat, yes. And I'm also doing a lot with the Actors Studio. I'm working on my audition for the Actors Studio. And I go there often, and I'm what they call a working observer. So I'm doing a lot of stuff there, which isn't public, you know, it's not for the public. It's in this sort of acting creative womb that is that place, and I have such reverence for this. Like, it's a very sacred place for me, and I'm just learning so much there. So a lot of my energy in acting is actually going into there, but it's not, again, it's not like, you know, public, but I feel it's really important to hone the craft, learn as much as I can.
Absolutely.
There from these masters, these great you know, people that have worked with Lee Strasberg and all of that. So I'm doing a fair amount there. And like I said, you know, I do want to be involved in more theater, but I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to filming this, this short, and I'm looking forward to more films. So.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Now, you are an LA actress. Are you, heavy workout routine? And, you know, you're a former ballerina too. You know, work out a lot and all that, and have routines and the like.
Oh, I need the gym. The gym is like air. Just exercising. I definitely have to be on psych meds if I wasn't working out somehow. It's like necessary for my mental health, and it's, you know, it feels good to feel good physically, of course. And I do things like I'll take ballet class. Every now and then I'll do, and I love hiking. I love, like, you know, getting out on a trail.
You gotta have that down. For me, people always ask me, you know, what I like. My thing is my garden. You know, that's my church.
I got my
Bluetooth. I play my classical music station.
Oh,
do stuff
great.
In the garden, you know. And there's not a lot of thought that goes into it. And I need it. I spend about an hour and a half every morning just doing that. And it sets me up for the day. Gets me in the zone where I need to be to do work, you know.
That's so awesome. And then you're supporting this life, these plants that you get to watch them grow and care for them. I think that's so beautiful. Yeah, it is necessary.
I started doing that during the pandemic, and it just, you know, I'm one of those cats. I got to be honest with you. Whenever I get into something, I go 110%.
Nice.
We've got a hell of a garden. Let me put it that way. You know, and I've got a computer. You know, computer programs that are. It's really. Intense. But you know, the thing is I just, you know, I don't do it for that. I just do it because I really enjoy it. I'd say another little, you have to find your peace where you can, folks. We live in a mid-century house, built 1958, I believe, and we don't, even though it's modern and we've modernized it, there's certain things we don't have. We don't have a dishwasher, just me and my wife and, you know, all of our animals. But, when you dirty a dish, somebody's got to wash it. My wife's not a big dishwashing fan. I love it. I find it meditative, just doing the dishes, you know. I'm not thinking.
Yeah.
I just, you know, and find your little joys, your little pieces where you can. And super important.
Absolutely.
If that means going on a hike or pointing your toe on a bar, you know, with a big mirror. You know, nothing wrong with that. You know, all I'm saying do that. Don't hang out in pool hall. That's my advice. I'm teasing. You're not the pool hall type.
Don't hang out.
Although you play pretty good at pool.
Oh, I'm terrible at pool.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's funny. That's how me and my wife met at a bar, actually. And, she destroyed me in a game of pool. destroyed me. I'm like, this is the gal for me. you know?
yeah.
Oh, man.
You can garden and play pool. Yeah.
So the movie's out. Scalper dropped yesterday. That's got to be a cool feeling. You know, you do all this work, and then you flick on the TV and see you looking back out at you. What was that, you know?
Yeah. I think there's a screening on Friday as well.
Nice.
I probably shouldn't have brought it up because I don't know the name of the theater off the top of my head, but yes.
I'll find out, folks, and I'll blast out on all my social media. And
yeah,
Don't worry. Don't worry about that. Very, very cool. Kate, you were, I know we were going to do this last week and everything. You were cool, turned up to 10. Thank you for putting up with, you know, delays and all that. I really appreciate that. You're really good at these interviews, I got to tell you.
Thank you. Well, this was great. You're a wonderful interviewer and great listener.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a blast. So.
Well, keep answering the phone when Chad calls because you guys are a good team, you know, seriously.
Yeah.
And everybody in this film was fantastic. Everybody. I don't want anybody to think, man, Bei Ling was phenomenal. Scott Vogel, Susan was just, you know, and of course, Jake, you know. I don't think he's ever met anything that I didn't fully believe. Now, he's got to be another one like you that just takes the craft super seriously. I kind of get that impression from him. I've never talked to the guy. Just he seems that way, you know, that
I was so impressed by his, I was like, you know, on The Pig Killer, that was the first, you know, movie we made together. And I'm like, oh my God, this is like my first actual film, like role that I'm, you know, sort of like my first actual film role. And I'm working alongside Jake and I was just like, oh my God, like I was, you know, kind of shaking in my boots and like, I was so impressed by his, professionalism and just there were so like, you know, making a low budget horror movie comes with its challenges and there's, you know, stuff you got to put up with and stuff so the movie can get done. And there's, and Jake was just so calm, cool, collected about all of it. And I was just like, you know, as a producer, I was just like, wow, like the level of commitment and professionalism this guy has was, it was incredible.
Man, I'm telling you, he blew me away in Contact. Just that look he had. What a creepo, man. Scary. Scared me. And that was, I can't remember when that came out, 96 or something? He was great in that. He's great in everything. Very, very cool. Well, so are you, though. So are you, Kate. You know this. You know, you're fantastic. Hey, I saw your acting reel too on Instagram. That's really cool.
Chad actually made that. We wanted to use the song that is on the reel. When I was living in Canada, I don't know if you heard of the band Mother Mother, but they were like huge in Canada. They're Canadian, and their songs were so fitting for the Pig Killer. We didn't end up getting, you know, it would have been pretty costly to get the soundtrack for Pig Killer from them. But he used one of their songs in my reel,
nice.
Which is about body parts and like there's a whole which
I found. That is fantastic. And next time we talk, next time you're on the show, because I just saw it on your IMDb. And I'm fascinated. We Eat Garbage, a documentary on dumpster diving. That's an interesting topic. That is something I want to know more about. It's phenomenal.
Oh, that's such a different genre of work. Yeah, no, it is. I did that for my master's thesis. I did a thesis on the subculture of dumpster diving. And so
that
was
fantastic. You would love our garden. You would love our garden. Not from the vegetables growing in it, but just from all the stuff that when I walk my dog, my crazy dog, I'm like, oh, somebody's throwing a wheelbarrow out because the wheels don't work. But the top, I don't know what you call it, but the wheelbarrow, you know, that you put the stuff in, I can drill holes in that and make it into a planter. We can grow some onions in that.
There's so much stuff you throw away. It's crazy. It's so crazy what you find.
I'm telling you, I hunt for palettes. That's my big thing. I'm always making stuff out of palettes. It's better than going into a landfill.
How creative is that?
I love it. It's just cheaper. That's all. I'm a cheapskate when it comes to stuff. Sometimes if I don't have to buy it, I don't have to. But then again, at the same time, I'm a clothes hound. I always tell people I have two sets of clothes. I have my work clothes, which I work in, that I paint in, and then I have my going out clothes. When I'm doing, like, if I got to go to a gallery opening or something, I'm looking sharp. I'm a flash guy.
Nice.
A lot of my friends are like, "Yeah, you dress like the Joker." It's true, you know. But I like
it's
flashy.
Fun. There's something to getting dressed up. I mean, in the I love old vintage era, like 1930s, 40s, 50s. When people used to dress up and. Oh my gosh! It just
nothing better
I
in men's fashion than a 1930s vest. You know, they were high, looked sharp. I'm a hat guy too. I wear a fedora all the time. You know, it's very true. It's very true.
Nice.
My wife is shoes and handbags, but
That's
everybody's got their thing, That's right. That's right. And the scalper, he likes to scalp people, and do other things, Man, that opening scene with that. I don't want to give anything away. But, whoa. It gets right into it.
Yep.
Very, very cool. Yep. Well, I want everybody to check it out. I'll find out about the screening there in LA, and I'll let everybody know. And check it out, everybody. Very cool. Check out Kate Patel in it. She's been phenomenal with her dark hair. doesn't matter what color hair you're in, Kate. You're real good. Hey, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. It was awesome.
Anytime. Well, folks, that's going to wrap it up for us tonight. We will be back. Let's see, what is today? Today's Wednesday. Actually, we're not back until next Tuesday. So I got a little time off. I've got a bunch of, Valentine's Days coming up. I'm painting. I'm doing a lot of commissions this week, man. A lot of commissions. I got to paint a dog tomorrow. It's very, have to do it. Painted a cat today. Anyhow, we will see you next time. This episode will be converted to a podcast. It's going to be, pushed out on all the podcasting platforms. We're on over 850 of them, including the big ones, Spotify, Pandora, all that. We will see you next time. Thanks for listening, and check it out. And we have links to Kate's social media and her IMDb. So like and share, and, you can check out all the cool stuff that is Kate Patel. We'll see you next time, everybody. Bye.
All right. This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited for broadcast on Blog Talk Radio.
Pana Oli, Pop Rocks Radio.
Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.
Blog Talk Radio.